Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's podcast, we're kicking off spring with a fresh new sex toy review show. We're sharing which sex toys we're loving in the Sex with Emily office this month. And we're also answering your email questions. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com and check out all the fun stuff we have going on there, all the blogs, all the posts, all the videos. And also, you can easily subscribe to the podcast. You know, we release two podcasts a week. Subscribe to our newsletter, social media, all that stuff. And also shop at our store. You know, we have a store there because I talk about a lot of fun toys that I like and products, and you can find them all on the website. Well, I'm excited for today's show. Because we've got the team here.
What up? Woo.
Hey, guys. Okay, we've got Madison, Jamie. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks. Good to be here.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Happy spring.
Oh, yeah. Happy spring.
It has been feeling very springy here in California, but I don't want to complain because it's like snowing everywhere else and people will hate us for that.
Yeah.
Look at me talking about the weather on the sex show. People are just tuning off right now. I will not talk about weather very often, however. It is spring. And I'm glad you guys are here because we've had quite a year here, quite a winter. And now we're talking about some toys that we like.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing that kind of thing today. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, just something different for us that we've never done before.
Yeah. It's always fun to get tasked with masturbation for work, yeah. You know.
It is. I'm like, have you tried this out? But I'm usually the one because I'm kind of late with things. I'm like, I haven't tried it out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, that's really funny. Like putting on your calendar, like, Emily, go home and masturbate.
No, literally, it says that stuff on my calendar. It says, like, which toy. Not that it's not fun, you guys. I still love my job. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, we've been, you know, trying out toys, talking about sex, all that stuff. What's going on with you guys? Anything new and exciting I need to know about? I haven't been around that much, like, the last few weeks. I've had, like, family in town and travel. And so I feel like we can just really connect here on front of everybody.
Well, it's not really sex related at all, but
that's fine, Jamie. Just tell me what's up.
Well, me and Madison actually are both experimenting with
together.
A new way to take vitamins, I guess.
Okay. Health with Emily.
Okay, so get this. And this actually, now that I think about it, is like one of the most LA things probably. But it's a vaporizer, but just for like vitamins, for specific vitamins. Because like I'm really low in B12, like seriously low. And my doctor wants me to come in like every 2 weeks and like get a B12 injection. And right. It's like, I don't have time to do that.
Who's got time, right? And I can't even put gas in my car.
No,
right,
so I saw these vaporizers online, and each vaporizer has up to 14 injections in it. It's like $9 per vaporizer. And it's supposed to give you like, you know, the amount of B12 that you need.
The same as you get in the shots? This is amazing. Everyone's low on B, it seems like. It's like the thing now. Yeah, or maybe we're just finding out more.
Okay. So I'm curious to see how it works out. And I was telling Madison about it, and we were both like, oh, we're gonna buy it right now. And they came in the mail super fast too.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I have one, you can try
a
it.
Vaporizer, like, why not just take the pills, the B12 pills, vitamins? I get it, because you gotta get a shot.
Yeah, life moves pretty fast, you know, if you don't slow down once in a while, you're gonna miss it. No, so it's just for LA people, because apparently we will vape anything that you hand us.
That's
so
true.
I was like,
do you ever get confused between your pot vape and your
B12 vape? No, it says vitamin very big on it.
What a nice accident to happen. That would be fun.
Exactly. Like, oh my God, I meant to get healthier here with the B12, but I just got really stoned at the office.
For some reason, I feel like the energy's not coming.
Right, exactly. I can't focus on tasks at hand.
Just feel tired.
So you guys, last night I went to America's Got Talent.
That's fun.
Did they have talent, though, is the real question.
They did have some talent. Okay. I thought it was interesting, though. I went with my family because they're in town, and I've never seen the show before. Shock. Although I do have my new TV, Shiny TV, that's all set up, and I'm waiting to turn it on any day now. But it was interesting. It was like, you know, yeah, there was some talent, but it was one of the talent. It was one of the shows where they, you know, it's the audition shows. Yeah. People are auditioning for it.
So it's not people who are like, we're 100% certain that they have talent. These are the people who were talented enough to get to a point where we can figure out if they have talent.
Right, exactly. And it was a lot of them were not Americans, though. That was a weird part.
What?
Like, they were not Americans with talent. They were like Ukrainians with talent.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, we're the land of opportunity.
We are.
That is good. That's inclusive.
The only awkward part, there was a comedian. He was the only one who got buzzed off because he did a stand-up thing, and it was about sex. And I thought it was very interesting and he was very funny, but I knew that for the American audience that they would never let that fly on television, which still really upsets me.
And
about
it's a family
America.
Show.
It is a family show. So what was this guy thinking? Except for, this is the weird thing, is that my niece, who's 8, was looking, she just knows that I do something with, like, sex is the word. And she also were on Snapchat. And so the second he said sex, she just looks at me like this, these eyes, like, and Emmy knows what that word is. So that was a fun night.
She's like, do you know him? Do you work with him?
She's like, do you work with him? Because sex is like the thing. Like, that's the only time I've ever seen it and heard it. Now someone's saying it on stage.
Especially
but they buzzed him off the stage.
Oh,
he's the only one that got buzzed off?
He's the only one out of all the people.
Oh, wow.
And I thought he was funny.
America's just not ready for that
America's,
kind of
America doesn't have sex. America needs more sex.
Certainly not
America's
during prime
got
time.
Sex and not during prime time. Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking of sex, you guys, I've got some sex in the news. Let's talk about this. If you want to turn a lady on, just frown at her and sweat profusely. How about that? The things that we find attractive.
I'm turned on already.
Like, we wouldn't put that like on our Bumble profiles, for example.
I would.
You would? You'd say sweat all over me, baby?
No, but it would be hilarious.
You should actually, this actually would be funny. You'd be like, I read a study.
No, yeah, literally. I mean, it'd just be like, hey, like, only swipe right if you're really good at frowning.
Right, exactly. Right. Well, but apparently we find this attractive. What turns a woman on is something most men often find complicated. Science has done a little of the hard work for you, delving into the intricate female mind to discover what really gets her going. Well, most men, we hope, know that listening to her, treating her with respect, putting in the effort to spend time with her goes a long way. There's a few other traits that put you ahead in the race for her affection. So before you go on the date, take a look at what turns a woman on according to science. Now, the only thing upsetting about this, I'm going to read this to you all because I just found it interesting and I thought we could talk about this. We've got women in the room here. I don't want men walking around now with a furrowed eyebrow. because that's just what they think is cute. Like if they're like, hey, I better, this is going to be attractive. I think it's just if you naturally furrow your brow.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think it's the furrowed brow. So when I was in my communication courses, we took like entire segments of nonverbal communication. And there's like all these little like micro expressions and what they mean. When you look at someone with a furrowed brow, it's not the furrowed brow that's necessarily the attractive part. It's what it means about the furrowed brow. Maybe right. he's just glaring because there's sun in his eyes, or maybe he's a broody bad boy with like a problem well, that you can fix.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's what it is. So the first thing is the furrowed eyebrow. So a furrowed or wrinkled brow can turn a woman on more than a happy face. So the study says that found men who display the dark triad, features of narcissism, Machiavellism, and psychopathy.
Yeah. No, that's a dark
are more
triad.
Attractive to women. I was like, wait.
We like our men Christian Grey style.
What was I saying? Exactly. Really totally. This.
Yeah. He's right. So complicated.
I know. That's Alina. Okay, we're bringing Alina in. Yeah. We've got a fourth here. She's like our silent fourth person. I wasn't going to say, but Alina is like new on our team.
Hi, guys.
And I was like, do you want to talk? Do you not want to talk? No pressure. And here she is.
Only if I get to talk about complicated men.
Please. Yes. No, we are talking about, welcome to the show, because that's what we do. And women. So it finds that these traits are more attractive to women, and it all has to do with the perception of social success. Hmm. So of these traits, narcissism was most clearly associated with social success and physical and psychological health benefits in men. The study found that women with a preference for highly narcissistic men's faces had more children.
Interesting.
We're attracted to narcissists.
What's really funny is if it was a woman walking around with this furrowed brow, it would be approximately 5 seconds before some well-meaning man walked over and was like, smile, honey. You're right. So much prettier when you smile. I'm going to start going over to guys with furrowed brows and being like, smile. You look so much prettier when you smile. And right. like watching them.
Or
just
one of her
away.
Friends was like, you should totally get Botox. Yeah. That's what happened for
gonna,
a woman.
It's going
to Okay.
Wrinkles.
So the furrowed brow, this is just, I mean, it's just, this is just interesting about what we find attractive. I'm not saying you have to do it. But the other thing we find is creativity and intelligence. It seems obvious, maybe, but this is important nonetheless. The study found that men who take part in more creative activities, such as photography, playing in a band, writing poetry, are more attractive to women. Playing sports also topped the list. And the study found that the most guaranteed way to attract a partner was through intellectual interest and creative achievement. So men who work in creative industries, such as web design, writing, or art, are more likely to get the girl, but are they likely to keep him? Because seriously, the guy in the band, like, unless he's in a successful band, I'm sorry, but like, I love people pursuing their passion. You know, when I pursued this, I had 10 other jobs at the beginning. So if you're only in a band or you're only, yeah. you know what I mean? You're not making it. I get it.
I dated a drummer, a very not intellectual drummer, for 2 years. And at first, the band thing was really cute because I was 18. I was like, oh my God, like he's a drummer in a band. It's so hot. 2 years later, I'm 20. I'm like looking into like getting serious about school and transferring. He's still talking about how his band's going to make it. And he was like 26, 27 at the time. And I was, yeah, he was older. And so I was just looking at him and was like, no. Like, right. it's not cute anymore.
Right, right. Nothing wrong being in the creative industries, but, you know, this not is just, all. I guess, what we, you know, in a primal sense, find attractive.
It's a sweaty thing. It's because musicians get sweaty.
Really.
Like, it is.
Yeah, you know. It's true.
That they're confident in pursuing their passions and their dreams. But then, yeah. do you think this changes, though, also? Because you're like, yeah, but some women are like, I want the guy who has a stable job and the investment banker.
Absolutely. Most of my friends, granted, I went to private kind of religious college, but yeah, all the women there wanted, like, business majors. That was like it, you know?
Yeah.
The more passionate, though, I feel like it's like also associated with like being in tune with like your emotions in a way. And so they're not afraid to be like romantic and they're not afraid to be certain ways. But sometimes I found in my thing is that they're too emotional. Like I dated a bassist and like he was super great. And, he, you know, like the sex was really great. And he was like really in tune conversationally and passionate and intimate. But he was just too much. Like there was too much emotions there. So I was like, okay.
Like, kind of like this delicate balance, right?
Yeah.
God, this is so confusing. I'm not going to say that you all need to start. Well, next we're going to get to sweating and stubble and furrowing brows. But you don't need. We're just saying that this is like, you know, a study that was shown that what women kind of find attractive. And we're kind of just giving our opinions on this. But I don't want people to go start like furrowing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the point of this is just sort of.
Yeah, this is like, it's fun. It's lighthearted. It's like, this is what women find attractive according to science. This isn't like you need to go out and join a band and grow
Being
your
really
facial hair.
I'm concerned about men right now. I just have so much passion, compassion always because I get concerned. But it is true. I've been at all sides of the spectrum, dating the artist, dating the guy, you know, and I think it does come down to passion. It's like to someone who's really like when you're looking, and it does change. Like in college, like I dated a drummer as well. It was like in the popular band at college. And like, I probably dated him for 2 months because I had the biggest crush on him for like the entire semester. I remember a class we were taking. I don't even remember the class. Some sociology class. We were probably learning about this stuff, which is why I'm learning about it again now, because I probably was staring at this guy, Jeffy, the whole time. And he was in the popular band and he was so cute. But I dated him for 2 months just because he was in the, and it was hot to watch him in the band, but he was not that bright and not that interesting. He would never make the move. And then I had to make it. He was confusing, but it was just, there's something very sexy about that.
I think a pianist would be a good musician to get with, because they're like very technical and like, I see them hands. As more like,
artists are very sensitive too.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably part of what we're drawn to.
Yes, we are, but not the overdose of sensitivity. But I think the passion too. Because even now, like when I'm dating and I'm talking, I actually had this guy ask me, we were talking on the phone, because now I'm doing all the online dating stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to go out on a date with a guy. I want to talk to him first.
Phone interview.
I want to hear on the phone. Just even for a minute. Not because if I find your voice attractive or not, but like, let's just break some things down. and he's like, well, what are your deal breakers? Like, he asked me that right away. And I thought that was interesting. And I thought,
guys who asked me about my deal breakers.
Yeah, no, really. I'm like, you just did it. We're done. I'm out. But I really said to him, and this is where this has changed. This might've been a different answer. But I said, I just want someone who is kind of settled in their life and their path right now. And they're like really passionate about what they're doing for like with their life's purpose. They're not still trying to figure it all out, which I get that that's kind of the stage of the life that I'm in right now.
But it's
then I said, I couldn't really think, it's so funny because it's about the person really. Because I think we could say we have a million deal breakers, then you could just like meet someone and you're like, all those things go out the window. Like, I don't want a smoker. And then he's like smoking. I'm like, that's, you know, I love the way your smoke smells. Love the way you blow it out of your nose. That's so hot. Okay, but moving on.
Yeah.
Stubble. Forget what you heard about being clean shaven. It's not what women want. An older beard. That was like an older man. Older.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Beard. Or stubble, specifically 10-day old stubble. 11th day, I guess you shave it or something. I don't know. Is more of a turn on to women. Men with a clean shaven look appear just as healthy as men with beards, but women rated men with beards higher for perceived parenting skills. But heavy stubble was more attractive than beards. And they said this is more manly when they have facial hair. How do you guys feel about facial hair?
I like it.
Yeah.
My husband has a beard and I would die if he shaved it.
Really? Oh. Has he always had a beard?
No. And when I look at pictures of him back when he didn't have one, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad he grew the beard.
Yeah.
He knows how I feel about that.
Yeah.
It's just very manly.
It is manly. It's true. But then there's some guys who just, they can't for whatever reasons, and that's fine. No, but some men can't.
It's the saddest thing I've ever seen. It's
not that they're less manly.
I never realized it was like a genetic thing that you're either born with the ability to grow it or not. And like you hit a genetic lottery. If some people are able to have full beards, but like I have a best friend who his girlfriend listens to this podcast. So she knows exactly who I'm talking about. But he, for the longest time, it was like a running joke that like he couldn't grow facial hair. Yeah. And after a while, I realized like we would all tease him about it, but he probably felt kind of bad.
Yeah, no, it's like men who lose their hair and they can't grow the hair. Like they can't do anything about it. We can get extensions. Yeah. We get hair where we don't want it. We get lasered men. Like they can't do anything about it. You can't have like fake stubble extensions put in.
Going to use some of that like Revitalash on his facial hair.
Grow that bad boy. Anything.
Biotin.
Right.
Biotin. It's only 2017. Just wait. I'm sure there's going to be a market for extensions it eventually.
You know how women get the fake eyelashes? You put one eyelash. They put one stubble in at a time.
The new hair plugs.
But then you'd be having sex with them and they'd fall off on the bed.
Oh, no.
Oh. Okay. A deep voice. A voice is known to affect the perceived attractiveness of a person. A low, husky voice. To be more attractive, voice as is perceived as more dominant. It's also influenced by breathiness, which can soften more aggressive tones. So when asking her on a date, use a deep, tender voice with heavy breath and a husky undertone.
What does that even sound like?
I don't know. Like, I think it was a stalker because like, hey, Emily, what are you doing on Friday night? What are your deal breakers?
Girl, I'm going to take you out. Like, my God, in a trash bag in pieces? Like, what on earth?
I don't know. Right. Exactly. What about that? Have you ever like talked to a guy in his voice? You're like, yes, no.
I mean,
I don't think any of these are conscious either, really.
No.
I just feel like I mean, there's just random times where someone's voice does not match what they look like.
That's true.
That sometimes throws you off and you're just like, okay, like you see them, you're like, great. And then they start talking. You're like, whoa, wait a second. Who is speaking for you? Because that is not you.
Exactly.
That's the only time I get a little like, meh. And then there are times, obviously, where I'm like, oh, that guy had a hot voice. But I don't know what it is about the voice. And I wouldn't say that it's necessarily deep,
breathy,
or
deep and husky,
or breathy or anything. I think it's just like some guys have like, oh, you sound like you're probably attractive.
Right. Like, yeah. And then sometimes the voice is great. And then maybe they're not as attractive.
The person is awful. Yeah.
Okay. And then sweat. This is the one that was kind of the headline of the story here. Well, most men might be quick to jump in the shower to wash off that post-workout trauma. Turns out it's quite a turn on. Women are more sexually aroused, had faster heartbeats, increased levels of the stress hormone, cortisol, when they smelled male sweat. Yeah, I mean, I've had that where it's more of like, I love a guy's scent, but the sweat thing, not
like
so much.
I like the look of like a sweaty guy. Like that's like a turn on, but like, don't come near me and I don't want to touch you and I don't want to smell you. I don't think that's attractive at all.
I don't either. See, there you go, guys.
I used to work at a gym. Like male sweat is my kryptonite. Right. Like, no, thank you.
How about you guys? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think I do like a guy's natural.
The natural.
Musk. A natural musk. But like, no, like if you're like super sweaty, like no. Right. Especially because it's like, and then like when you're at the gym or when they were testing these women, I'm sure they weren't around their sweaty genitals. They were just around them sweaty in general. So like if you're around their like penis and it's all sweaty, it's going to be way grosser. It's going to smell worse. It's not going to be a turn on at all. It's like super disgusting. That's what I'm saying. So it's like when they were, I think that this study is a little skewed because you can't really just put a woman's face next to a guy's junk.
Right.
For science, in the name of science. I mean, you could.
If you don't know the junk either, like maybe for someone that you're already dating, but it is like, it is, you know, biology here that it's the chemical change.
Isn't this a pheromones thing?
It is kind of, it is a pheromones thing.
I don't think it's a visual thing.
It's not. No, it's not.
I don't think it's the smell of sweat. It's the hormones that get off, that come off of a sweaty person.
Exactly.
But I could easily take just like a guy who sat in the sun for a few minutes over like a sweaty guy who just came out from the gym.
Is that like a UPS guy you like?
No. That's not. That's funny. Okay, yes. But I have commented on that, but only because he smells like hot skin, not like a hot man. He smells like, it's like hot when a person skin has been in the sun for a long time.
Beachy smell.
It's like you can smell the pigmentation. Like you can smell like the top layer of their skin kind of like being hot. Like it's a process and you can smell. I don't know. I'm also really sensitive to smells.
No, we get a lot of men delivering packages here.
And they all smell the same.
No, they all smell. This is something I just learned last week because Matt's usually like signing off for them. Do you smell them too, Jamie? Like I feel like I just want to sniff them next time they come in.
I mean, I know what Madison is referring to. I just don't think that I am conscious of it when the UPS people come in. Like, I'm also like sometimes like super observant about a lot of things, but I'm in a certain type of zone. Like literally a war could be going on behind me and I have no idea. So like, I'm not really the best person to ask.
I get it.
And that's not a man smell. I smell like that if I spend too much time in the sun.
I've been meaning to talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So next thing is clean sheet. Just kidding. Clean sheet. You smell, you carry deodorant around with you. I love it. Okay. You smell like roses. Okay. Clean sheets rank higher than a new hairdo, makeup, and even, okay, I'm so glad because we say this all the time, and even a hot bath when it comes to getting a woman in the mood. In a study of more than 2,000 men and women, researchers found clean sheets came in second on the top turn-on list, right behind losing weight. So get those sheets in the washing machine. You guys, please, guys, I understand, like, oh, it's hard, right? Sometimes if you don't have a washer and dryer in your apartment.
You live with other guys.
Like, it's such a pain. I get it, but like, you can't, I know you guys are masturbating every day. You've got the clean sheets. Can't you just, and I didn't want to tell guys you could spray stuff on it to make it smell a little better, like, but just
Febreze,
don't.
That wouldn't work.
Febreze,
for me.
But then it smells good. No, you really need to clean those sheets just like you clean your underwear. Hopefully you guys do that. And your socks. But guys just, they don't know. I don't know. I remember it was a hard struggle for me too. Like in my 20s, like trying to figure out, you know, when you share a building with someone, you gotta go down the street, get the quarters, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you guys, it's important and it's hot and we are judging you on that.
Yeah, no.
What sheets do I love? I love the parachute sheets. They're amazing. If you haven't tried them.
No,
online.
I haven't.
You get them online. Cut out the middleman. That whole thing.
What was the other one that you had that we did the
sponsorship? Bowl and Branch.
Bowl and Branch.
They were really soft.
Those are amazing.
They were really soft.
They probably took away my key. I don't know why these companies do this. My podcast lasts forever, literally evergreen, right? You can listen to them for the last 3 years on iTunes. If anyone's interested, I have 12 more years before that, or 9 more years before that aren't available. Just email Madison. Just kidding. but it's like the codes go away with some of these companies. But Bowl and Branch, who knows if you use... I don't know if it was Bowl and Branch / Emily. They'll be pissed right now, or Code Emily. But those are really soft.
They were so nice.
We actually did
a video.
Yeah, we had a video and like about having a meeting in Emily's bed.
Oh, we did. That's funny.
But the funny thing is that we actually had the meeting in Emily's bed. Like wasn't like fake. Like it was a real.
We were all in there. This is on Instagram, right?
It's on our website, I believe, and it's definitely on YouTube.
It is on Instagram.
I know.
Scroll down, you can see us all in bed. But it was like that was kind of funny. It was cuddly and they were soft. Okay, whatever. Just get to. Okay, here's your thing. You know how much money you're wasting on other things? Because I know for the longest time, it just occurred to me that I was like, oh, I could have two sets of sheets.
Yeah.
And they're like not that expensive. You could get really nice, like thread count, high thread count sheets. So you know how you're just like wasting money on other things? Just don't get that extra beer or whatever to save up for some sheets.
Promo code Emily if it still works.
Guys. Oh, yeah. Promo code Emily.
For 20% off.
And if not, tell them they should. do it.
Email
again.
Them.
Yeah. Okay, and this one's interesting. Attractive name. Have you guys ever thought about this? Apparently, yeah. It's a thing when it comes to dating. Names like Ryan, James, Jack, and Chris are the most attractive names a man can have. James topped the list for perceived success. Jack for the list of the luckiest name, followed by Chris. I hate to say the least attractive names because these guys are going to feel bad right now, but you're hot. Don't worry. Peter, Thomas, and George.
George Costanza. That's all I think of.
I don't know. But that's, I guess I could, I don't know. Do you guys think about that when you're looking at some college? You're like, oh God, you really want to get down George?
It's very romance novel-y to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard people be like, oh, like Madison, that's a hot name. And I'm like, really? Because I know a bunch of children named Madison right now. So like, where are you pulling that out of? I don't understand this whole idea of hot names versus not hot names. And I would never, I think Ryan, James, Jack, and Chris just sound like really
Chris,
plain.
Yeah, like, whose name isn't Chris? Every guy's name is Matt, though, I've realized.
Pretty much.
Have you ever noticed, like, literally every guy? Is that your husband's name or something?
No, it's not.
It is. Every guy's name is Matt. Like, wherever
just
you go.
Just start calling every guy you meet. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, really. I just guess that their name's Matt because it probably is. But I'm not great with names, especially in college. And this is not a new thing. I know you guys think, like, I don't remember anything. But I didn't in college either. I mean, no, it's true. I actually don't remember anything or anyone. But this has been going on since college. And here's why men's names are so hard for me. Because, like, most of them have one syllable. So, like... Mm-hmm. Bob, John, Matt, Chris, Mark, Dave, John, Rob, Bob, or I said Bob, Matt. And I was like, I don't know. Like, they all kind of sound the same. And then eventually they look the same. That was a whole other story. So, okay, let's give a shout out to our sponsors. This was good. Anything else? Let's round this up. This was just interesting for science. Mm-hmm. And clean your sheets, I think, is the biggest takeaway.
Absolutely. I think that was the most relatable of all of these. Yeah. I was like, yeah, dude, clean sheets, no matter what else, like, that is a deal breaker.
Especially if you have pets.
Oh my God.
To be honest, I have a great story about that.
What? Go.
Okay. So, and I got really mad because they were close. I'd never really been set up before. Like, my friend was like, hey, I think that you would really like this coworker of mine. And he told his coworker, like, hey, I think you'd like this friend of mine. So we met and I was like, okay, he's like, you know, he's attractive. Like, I'm down. So I went to his apartment, like, you know, after we'd hung out in public, like around a group of people. And I go to his house and first of all, it wasn't even the worst thing was this. Well, actually it was the worst things, but like get into his apartment and apparently he lives with like seven other dudes and they were just all there. So I was like, okay, well, this is not awkward at all because I'm obviously coming over here for what? Cookies? Like, no.
Right.
So we go into his room and I'm like, it's really cute at first. I'm like, oh, you have chinchillas. That's great. You know? And so he's like letting them out and they're like running all over his room and all over his bed and stuff. And I'm like, they're like...
Shedding.
They're shitting on your bed.
Shitting or shedding?
Shitting.
Shitting. Like, they're taking craps, like...
While you were there?
Bunnies. Yeah, they're like bunnies, you know? So they just crap everywhere.
And he was like, hey, and...
And so he just goes and sits on his bed. And I'm like, are you gonna, like...
There's poop right there, and he sits next to it?
Yeah, I was like, hey, you gonna do something about that before we get going here? Because... Right. And he kind of looked at me like I was the weird one, questioning... Whether or not he should be cleaning his sheets right then and there. And I'm like, I don't know how this normally goes for you.
Oh, God. I hope you taught him a life lesson.
I'm like, I'm not okay with having intercourse on top of chinchilla shit. Like, I'm sorry.
No, dude, draw the line there. I'm glad
you did. I was just like, no, like, literally, he's like, well, did it. I was like, I just pulled his, I did it for him. I pulled his sheets off.
And then you had sex with him?
Well, I mean, I can't, I went all
the way. Well, you're already there.
Mid-city. Yo, dude,
you're already mid-city. You gotta bang him. You gotta bang him. I get it.
I never saw him.
That is a good story, though. I love it. So, clean sheets. Okay, got it. Perfect. Okay, so now, shout out to our sponsors.
Yeah.
And then we'll be right back with some. Oh my God, some sexy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Hi, everyone. We're back. I am back. Okay, Helena had to leave. Bye, Helena. Okay, so we talked a lot about spring cleaning this month because it is spring. Spring is a great time to clean up everything. Clean out your house, get rid of all the stuff that doesn't work, including bad relationships, dumping season. And we've encouraged you to get rid of that, bad patterns, all that stuff. Okay, so we wanted to get rid of it. We even did a giveaway, spring cleaning giveaway. We're going to be contacting you if you want a magic wand. But in that spirit of spring cleaning, we want to share what we've been up to in the bedroom this month because we have clean sheets.
It's true.
And we have clean, fresh, spanking clean, fresh new toys.
Brand spanking new, fresh, clean toys. It's like a word jumble.
I've had a rough night, you guys. America's Got Talent. It was a late night. Okay, so we do have some brand spanking new toys.
There you go.
Baby.
Nailed it.
Okay, so we've got these toys from FT London. So let me tell you about FT London first. So I used to go to the show called the International Lingerie Show every year. It's funny, everything in sex, like we're going to call it a lingerie show. And there was lingerie there, but there was also, it's in Vegas. There was also all the sex toys, all the companies, all the brands. And then there was always like some standouts every year that people would launch their new brands there. And I met them at this show and there was this guy, Jack, and his partner, I can't remember his business partner. And they had you go to these things. If anyone's ever been to a conference, like I don't care if you're going to like a, you know, technology conference or you're going to like a floral conference, flower conference, a gifting conference. You know, they have those gift shows, sex toy conference. They're all like kind of like really, they look the same. Like there's hundreds of booths. Mm-hmm. I mean, these, if you look in the booth, you're like, oh, there's a dildo. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, there's like a pocket pussy. But it still is a big conference hall. So nothing, it's hard to get things to stand out. And this guy, Jack, he's Ukrainian and he made these, this booth was like this beacon in the middle of this conference of toys that just stood out because their toys were just, they were so beautiful. They were so unique and they had the most amazing drawings and they wore these shirts that has like flowers on them. It was like these blooming flowers and the toys, which now we're going to talk about, were just people couldn't stop talking about them. They won all these awards that year and there was like nothing like I'd ever seen before. So it turns out Jack, who started the company, he's an engineer who was specializing in silicones for the space industry. I love how people get into this industry. He's like, oh, look at all these silicones. I know I can make a really cool sex toy with this. And he made this toy that looks like if you took a vibrator, like a dildo shaped vibe, like a mm-hmm. penis shaped vibe, and if you split it down the middle and both sides felt, it looks like a flower blooming.
Yeah.
And they're just very, Madison Googled images. So how would you explain it, Madison, to our crowd?
The best thing I could possibly come up with was that it looked like an upside down bell curve. So yeah. For all of my fellow math nerds out there, that's what you're working with. Except I like Emily's imagery more because it does kind of split like two splits petals. Open.
Two petals.
Yeah. Totally.
And they were just cool. And you're like, yeah. And sometimes things just look really cool. And you're like, oh, and they really were. They are very soft. It was just the whole design and shape of them were cool. And they just, Jack is the nicest guy and his partner. They were just cool and everyone was talking about
it. He brought
you
pasta.
He brought me pasta. He brought me like pasta and he brought me chocolates and he brought me like tea from Russia. He was just very nice. He lives in Russia now. He's a lovely man. So anyway, I've always loved their toys and now they have like a whole, that was like 4 years ago and they have a whole new thing. So it's FT London and they have a whole bunch of new toys that they came out with and we all got to try them recently. This toy that I was talking about was called the G-Vibe and it was a very successful toy and now they came out with the G-Vibe Mini, which was sold out because we started talking about this like probably like a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. From a purely superficial level, I love the color. I love that lit mint
green.
They're
so fun.
Mm-hmm. Like yeah. I almost think like that's not a reason to buy a toy, but like the softness and the color and the packaging, mm-hmm. beautiful. The G-Vibe Mini, we all tried it. Yeah, very unique shape. And this one's, again, it's a little smaller than the larger one. And it's designed to adapt to every anatomy and body type. And that was kind of their point in making these toys. Oh, when he came up with the idea, when he was like sitting at NASA, or I don't know where he was, but he was like, and he has a wife and they were trying these out. He's like, God, I'd love a toy that could really go inside of a woman. And then it would like bloom inside of her and be able to fill her up in a way and hit all of her spots. The G spot, the A spot, all the different spots we talk about. He's like, this could do it. And you could use it a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different touch points we're going to talk about. So the G Vibe Mini, very unique shape for every anatomy and body type. And you can use it for dual stimulation, internally, externally, anally. Men can use it for prostate stimulation. We haven't had any men in here to try it, though, which we...
I don't know.
Like, maybe we should give Michael Sound Guys one to go home with. I think it's a great toy. So six vibration patterns. Their silicone is like no other silicone that I've ever felt in a toy.
It's so soft.
I kind of want to cuddle with it.
It's nice to hold on to. Like I was like holding it and like kind of spinning one of them around my finger and was like, this is just pleasant. Like I would keep this around.
Right. Yeah. And no, you can't really tell it doesn't really look like a sex toy if you've got like kids around.
It kind of just looks like, you know, like the how they have those balls. Stress relievers, but it's kind of like a hand cramp.
Yes. It's
That's what it kind of reminds me of, because it's like you totally would like... just find yourself like, oh crap, I've been holding this for like 5 minutes. I haven't even masturbated yet.
Yeah, exactly. You forgot you were even going to masturbate, because masturbation can be a huge stress reliever. Maybe this is a dual use.
Oh, there you go.
It already has multiple uses, yeah. But you know.
That's
okay.
One more.
So what did you guys think about the G-Vibe Mini from FT London? Let's just have a chat about it. Yeah.
Upon first glance, I get a little bit nervous when they have a toy that's like, use it so many ways, because I'm like, oh crap, I'm never going to be able to do all of these ways with it. But like, it was really cool to play around with it, to kind of like look at it, be like, all right, so where is this going to go? And then after I struggled for a night, Jamie was like, hey, there's a diagram. Okay.
Well, here's the thing about their toys, which I love. They're okay. Again, to talk superficially, they come in these beautiful cardboard boxes, like the product's like nestled inside, and then they have these drawings. I bet you Jack drew these. It has, she explains to you. They're very pleasant drawings about how to use it.
Yeah, they're super great.
So Madison pulled out the instructions.
Yeah, so the instructions saved me. And then you can kind of see just the different ways. If you're like, you know, if you're used to using a toy that like either goes inside you or it goes outside of you, like for instance, another one that comes to mind is the Doc Johnson Tryst, where I was like, there's so many ways to use this. Like, I feel almost dwarfed by the ability to like masturbate with it, because it's just so unique. But this one's really cool because you can use it for clitoral and vaginal stimulation, which is how, like, you know, if you like rabbit vibrators and stuff like that, it's a really cool thing to do. And I like that a lot. I have trouble with just G-spot stimulation by itself. Helps for me to have clitoral contact as well. So that's how I used it. And I thought it was pretty cool. I liked the way that it felt in my hand, which was awesome. And I thought it was really easy to handle, which is cool, because you get big G-spot vibes and they're like long and you kind of have to like finagle them into you. Whereas this one was just like perfect. It was so close.
Yeah.
Jamie, what did you think? Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I liked it for the dual stimulation the most, because I feel like it's like a comfortable clothespin that you can like goes have like the one leg goes on your clitoris and the other leg goes inside of you and like hits your G spot. And the cool thing is that like when you move your legs in certain ways, or if you elevate your pelvis, or if you put your legs closer together, like you can feel the difference in like how the arms are like closer together or if they're farther apart. That's why it's like good to look at the instructions, one, because it really does help you like figure out like different ways that you can do it. When I use toys like this, I like to start out with dual stimulation, but then try it just internally. I really like the diagrams, because it's like when you put it inside you, they kind of come closer together when you put your legs together and up.
Exactly.
And that's how, for me, how I felt it more on my G-spot, and it felt more intense
when
that
you
way.
Put your legs together and up, like elevated, or yeah, like kicked back over your head kind of thing, or like when you're like getting a gynecological exam.
It's almost like when you're in wheelbarrow position, but there's no partner there, so it's just you laying on your back with your legs kind of like
up.
And like kind of like up
by
your shoulders.
And the more you move, it's very delicate. It can, you can feel the different, because it has those very strong motors on either end. So
yeah,
you can feel where it was hitting inside of you. I agree. Right. I felt that too. And before I know that I'm ever going to have any like even G-spot sensations or turn-ons, I have to have a clitoral, I have to like knock out the clitoral orgasm. So knock it out. Just get that out of the way. Boom. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to use this toy for that. And I used it, and I just, before I inserted it, and I just like pinched those two motors together, like on my clitoris and my labia. I'm just huge. Thank you. See? It's like recipes. We're sharing recipes. Let me write that down. When did you add the flour?
Like, oh my God.
So I squeezed it together in my clitoris, and then I would like invert it, and I would just put the two little tips on like my labia, and like, because that just totally turns that's what gets me going there. Mm-hmm. And then I would flip it back around. It's like acrobatics with the G-Red Mini, and then had the clitoral, which was awesome, per usual. And then I put it inside me. And I know you're saying it's a little different because you have to squeeze it together and then it opens. Mm-hmm. And I'd used the G-Vibe years ago when they got it. And this is totally different. But, and I was thinking, well, how is this really going to hit the G-spot? Because it's like, the other one was like so big and this one's like so much smaller. Then I left it on my clitoris and then I stuck it inside and hit the G-spot and it hit it like perfectly the first time. So I elevated my butt. It was actually really, it nicely like nestled on my clitoris and hit the G-spot, but I had to raise my pelvis up. I had to like do that, mm-hmm. which I sometimes forget to do that anyway, even though I know I talk about it all the time. And so that felt really good for me. Yeah, it hit nicely. And then what else did I do with it? I did a bunch of different things. I had a whole day. It was like a date on Saturday night. And then I twisted it around because we're always saying there's all these sensitive parts of our vagina and we really talk about the clitoris and the G-spot. But I feel like, again, we talk about like masturbation and exploration, and I twisted it around just to see like what kind. And I really did feel on those motors that I was like turned on the whole time from different areas that I hadn't felt stimulated inside of me in a while. There's kind of like dead zones in our vagina.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it's like muscles like or something. Let's say you only like run or do something exercise and you play tennis. You're like, oh my God, I have muscles I didn't know that I had. And you start to feel like sore in certain parts of your arm. It's kind of like that with your vagina, I think. I keep saying vagina.
No, totally.
And I feel like it was like hitting spots. So I was like twisting it around and it was like, I don't know. I had a really great orgasms and sensations. And a lot of it wasn't even orgasm. It was sort of like an arousal process that led up to like more orgasms. I think I had like 6.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Casual. Counting.
Just regular date night, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, it is cool. You mentioned earlier, but they have the dual motors. So like there's a motor each leg. Mm-hmm. And the part that you hold doesn't have a motor in it. So you're not losing any of the vibration power. Whereas like sometimes if you've got like a handheld vibrator, your hand naturally takes away a little bit of that vibration. It like absorbs it. So you don't get the full effect.
Exactly.
This has all the vibration. The motors are in the tips. So you know that wherever you put those tips is going to be stimulated the best. I think a lot of women don't realize, I might have talked about this before, the opening of your vagina is so sensitive. It's like riddled with nerve endings. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The inner two-thirds, it's like when we're always talking about penis size and why, you know, having a big penis doesn't necessarily mean mm-hmm. you can't pleasure a woman, because the inner two-thirds are some of the most sensitive parts. So I had a lot of fun using one of the arms like up by my clitoris and the other one was just kind of like at the entrance of the vagina, which I thought was nice.
That I tried that, yes.
Yes, and it was, yeah, and I was like, oh, like this is cool. This is something that most sex toys can't do. Like right. You can't just have it resting at the opening, you know? So that was awesome. Wait, and then, yeah.
Did I cut you off?
I think that's great.
Because no, you just reminded me of something. Mm-hmm. What I felt, I can't believe I forgot. That's like my best point. Because you know what's funny? When you're masturbating and you're not thinking, you're just kind of in your body. And then I'm also thinking about what I'm going to say about it. It's very confusing, right? Because I want to like give you guys my authentic thing, but I don't want to be thinking about it because I'm masturbating and I'm in the moment. But you just reminded me that I felt like the tips was like a little tongue. When I did the dual, it was like a little tongue because I'm super sensitive in those, in their two-thirds. So I just left it sitting there. For me, that's like, okay, how do I explain this? So it was just like resting like a tongue, like nestling, but then I push it harder and then it's like hitting up on my G-spot. So it felt like a little tongue, like it was like oral sex. Huge fan, as you know, like just if I can have a toy that just does that, I'm happy. And that's what it felt like to me, like a tongue. And I got that same sensation of like oral sex. Mm-hmm. So I love that.
Yeah.
And the toy also, I did not use it with a male partner, but it is great for that as well. It is for men and for women. You could share it. Mm-hmm. It's great. Like if you think about how it's shaped with the two, you know, prongs, great for like nestling on the balls. Oh, great, you know, for nipple play too, like squeeze your nipples. So it's got a lot of different uses.
One of the diagrams.
Hence the sketches.
Yeah. One of the sketches shows the two ends kind of like the way you're talking about stimulating your clitoris, the two ends kind of like nestling, like forming a V against his frenulum.
Right.
New best frenulum. Yeah, so
your best frenulum. It goes in his frenulum. Exactly.
So you like, yeah, you can like kind of like cup it around.
The frenulum. Do you want to tell what the frenulum is?
Yeah,
people don't know.
For the underside of the penis, so like where the head kind of like meets the rest of the shaft, on the underside, there's a little triangle and it's got like almost like a little like, it's like that rib, that like line underneath your tongue, like mm-hmm. that webbed kind of thing. It's got like a tiny little ridge like that. And it's called the like coronal ridge, mm-hmm. I believe. Pulling that out of nowhere, I could have made it up.
No, nowhere. It's true. But you got this. You've been here.
But then, so the frenulum is like, it's like the most sensitive part of the head, and the head is the most sensitive part of the penis. Right. So like if you're giving oral or something like that and you like flick your tongue against it, drives the guys crazy. So the idea, again, using it like a tongue, you mm-hmm. could kind of get it up under there, exactly. which is cool.
And trace it around.
I didn't get a chance to try that out. I'm going to have to.
Yeah. Okay. I won't tell your boyfriend.
But yes, that you didn't do it. But I have a penis in my life. I should actually
you
be
really
like.
You really should. We don't all have penises right now. So yeah, you got to do that. So that was cool. The other thing is, well, should we move on to the next one?
Because yeah, the G-Vibe Minute.
Let's move on to the G-Vibe Minute. The G-Ring. So the G-Ring, not to be confused with a C-Ring or penis ring, cock ring. It's the ultimate finger vibe. You can wear it on your finger. Like your finger literally becomes a vibrator. It's like the size of a Super Bowl ring.
I was trying to think of what was a good ring thing. Yeah. It's
big. Yeah. Made of the same velvety soft silicone. Perfect for clitoral stimulation during sex or even solo. 6 vibration patterns, multiple intensity levels, and 100% waterproof, just like the G-Vibe Mini, which I don't know if I mentioned that it was
Is
waterproof.
The G-Vibe Mini 100% waterproof?
I thought it was. If it's not, I might be wrong.
Let me see. I want to double check on that just in case.
Maybe it's not, but this one is.
It has the metal on it, so I thought maybe it wasn't. Let me double check.
I assume they all are waterproof. I swear to God,
It says it is 100% waterproof. Yeah. My bad.
I just love, okay, so I love the idea of just any finger vibe. It reminds you of like Jimmy Jane came out with the Hello Touch five years ago, and it was so cool because you get on 2 of your fingers, like these little finger pads with that one, and you could touch your partner and you become like a human vibrator, your finger does, your hands. So this I love, and that was a little more tricky because you got to put on your wrist. It's like a whole contraption. This just goes around your finger, and it's like, so that means that anywhere, and it's strong too, that anywhere you touch, you get vibration. So you could easily use it for masturbation. You put it on your nipples, you put it on your clitoris, you could like give a massage with it, turn yourself on. Like I'm always telling like women, you know, take it slow. And I kind of did that. Like I've been spending more time doing, you know, all these things, turning myself on slowly, not rushing through masturbation to knock one out. And it just feels good. It's like a little vibrator, like teasing it all over your body. So it's great for that. It's great for clitoral stimulation and also great for partner sex.
Yeah. No, I actually used it. The first time I ever used it was my jaw was really sore. So I used it to massage the area where my jaw like comes up under my ear. And it was really nice. It felt really good. You put on your finger and you just rub the way you would like any sore muscle.
True.
And I was sitting there and I was like, God, this feels really good. Like I had it on a low setting, so it wasn't like rattling my teeth or anything,
That'd probably be great for like during a blowjob.
Well, I was going to say that I think it's great for a blowjob and a hand job. Mm-hmm. You could use it against your mouth. You could use it like on your fingers, like as you're giving a hand job.
Totally.
Shaft, your mouth. Is that what you're saying?
She was talking about putting it on it in like the back jaw area.
Right, how we always
like,
say, right, exactly.
Yeah, like turning your mouth. But I think it'd be more advantageous to put it underneath your chin.
Underneath your chin, the chin trick. Do you guys know about this? Putting a vibrator underneath your chin when you're giving a blowjob? We've talked about this, but maybe not in a while. Against your cheek.
Totally.
Yeah.
I used it on my boyfriend's taint area. And he said it was nice. It like was, but it was really hard to do during sex. I don't know how anybody can like reach around and like put pressure on that, because I kept like accidentally moving and he was like, oh crap, like I was like, it was like grinding into his like perineum,
and
it was during sex, but like it felt good when it was lightly on it, but once I like, you know, we're moving around a lot, so I was trying to like press it against and he was like, okay, ow, like too much,
right?
So you have to be careful. Some guys are really sensitive in that area.
Yeah, there's 6. You could turn down the vibration too.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were in the middle of sex. I wasn't stopping to like play around with the buttons or anything. We were just going for it. But I think that it would feel really good also, like again, against his perineum, like underneath, kind of like right where his like shaft meets his balls might be really good too. You can play around with it because it's wherever your finger
literally can go. Wherever you want a vibration in your life, this will go there.
Mm-hmm. And it was really nice during sex too, because like a lot of sex toys are kind of bulky, so it's hard, like if you're in a position where like you're flat on your stomach, for instance, like getting a sex toy under there is like really hard. Sometimes getting even your hand under there is really hard, but like if you had it, it's like your fingertip.
It's so true. I mean, I'm thinking about this, it's like we always say, like for women, like we always need more clitoral stimulation during intercourse, that this is like the perfect thing. If you're like, oh, I'm afraid of, like, let's say you're like thinking, I'm not sure, I want to bring a toy in, you know, the relationship or whatever, which hopefully you're moving past that. But this is almost like the perfect toy for intercourse because it's literally just there on your finger. Like you already like start, it looks like a ring, looks like a Super Bowl ring. Mm-hmm. That would be weird. Like, I guess as a woman who runs the Super Bowl, but you could just hold it there. Like it could be easily, like we know that women require more clitoral stimulation, and this would do it.
Yeah.
Tandy.
That's not intimidating at all.
No, it's, like, that's it's literally saying,
the smallest thing.
That was it's the least intimidating toy I think, like, you could ever use.
I don't, if anyone was like intimidated by that, it'd be like, really, dude, like, come on.
It's like the size of like a, no.
It's too, literally like a ring pop.
It's like a ring pop. Yeah, don't exactly. Put it in your mouth.
I mean, you could, but you could. I don't know why.
It tastes probably.
I mean, it's waterproof, but don't. Yeah. It is odorless. That's one of the things that they say on the website. Yeah, and what else?
I love the chargers. The magnetic chargers are so easy. Yeah, really cool. It's just a beautiful, like, really, like, the pack. It's a great gift, too. The boxes, all that. Love them.
The cool thing about the G-Ring, too, is that, like, if you use some of the other toys that they have, it's, like, kind of serves as, like, a remote control.
Right, for their butt plug.
For, like, the G-plug or, like, which I think is...
The G-plug, right.
Yeah, which I think is just, like, really cool that it can be a sex toy and a remote to another sex toy. Like, that's really ingenious. Like, I don't think
any other company's done that. I think that's genius, too. I was reading a review by a gay couple who used it, and they were like, oh, my God, it was so hot. Because, yeah, you've got, like, yeah, a vibrator controlling another vibrator.
Yeah.
It's cool.
When they first talked to us at the trade show that I was at, when, like, it was the first time I ever met Jack and saw all the fun toy stuff, that was the thing that excited me the most, was the idea that it could pair with a butt plug and you can use it with a partner and it's like a remote. Like, that's so fun. Like,
I know. And they also have a great, speaking of pairing, they have a great Kegel ball, G-balls. And their G-balls are so cool because, I don't know if I've talked about these yet, is that they, we'll get into it later, check it out on their site, but really, like, you can wear it and you could, they have an app that pairs up to it and you can actually measure the progress of your muscles working with this G-ball, like it's strengthening over time. What are you laughing at?
They're on their website. So the cool thing about G-balls. Them is they, yeah, and you go to gvibe.com, I believe is the website, and for the G-balls one, they have tons of videos. Some are like fun promotional videos where you're watching it and you're like, this is visually entertaining, but I'm not sure what I'm watching here. And then you have actual instructional videos from Emily on the page as well, I believe, for some of them. But for this video, they have it. The title is Sensation, Lucy and Her Pussy.
And it just looks very like a circus font, popcorny, like, you know, just like very, so it's just fun. It's funny.
Oh yeah. I like it.
I was scrolling good and design. Jamie saw it and we both laughed at it because it's like Lucy, you know, so like loose tight.
Okay. Well, go to our website, click on the FT Linda banner and you can check it out. Do you just see all that? They're just well made. They're well designed. They're smart. They feel good. Yeah.
And I think you can buy them on the Shop with Emily site. Correct.
Yeah. Can you? I think you can. Yes. Yeah. Buy them on our site. That's fun.
Please do.
Do that. Okay. So.
Yeah. So.
Sensation play. Should we talk a little bit about.
Yeah, that was another thing that we've all been kind of
experimenting with some sensation play.
Yeah.
Meaning playing with different sensations. We have so many senses in our body, and a lot of times we forget to incorporate them all during sex, or maybe we've never even tried. And so if you think about what I'm saying, you know, sight, touch, sound, smell, voice.
Yeah.
No, talk. Totally. Sound.
It's like, touch. It's part of foreplay, five. I think.
Yeah.
It's generally like a good part of foreplay. And I know, Emily, we did a video about it earlier, and I think there's a blog that should be out by the time this podcast airs. So we can definitely link to that so you can see it. Overall sensation play, it's just the like experimentation of different senses and how if you take one away, how the others become heightened.
Right, exactly. Like that's what we always talk about, like starting with a blindfold, because then like if you put a blindfold on your, you know, partner, then everything else, like even just the lightest, I just picture that's like put a blindfold on your partner and then take the G-ring and on your finger and just trace it all over their body. Like they wouldn't know what comes next. And then you could use a paddle for spanking, or you could drip like massage oil, or even massage candle oil on your partner. And like, it's just playing with different sensations and spanking, you know, feathers, touch, just so fun. So we've been experimenting with that here.
Yeah. Been playing around with it and we thought it'd be funny. Jamie had a really good sensation play story that we wanted her to share. Yeah.
Jamie's full of stories today.
So I'm like really, I really like cooling things down like during sex. So I like to use ice cubes or like things that are like really, really cold. And like normally during oral sex, you make your mouth really cold and it feels really good to the other person. So like, and vice versa.
People don't normally do that. You just said normally during sex.
No, I mean like, I feel like
that's a good tip.
Normally
though.
People that do that do it for that reason, I would say. I guess I'm generalizing.
I'm saying this is a good tip, so I want to back you up. Are you saying when you're performing on a man or when a man's performing, or just in general?
Well, both. I'd say like when I, like I would cool my mouth because every person that I've done that to, every guy I've done that to, like goes crazy about it. Like they think it feels really like crazy. It was
cool actually, your mouth.
Okay. Yeah, it was really funny. Like I told a guy to get ice cubes one time and he was holding a handful of them and I started like going down on him and like making my mouth cold and stuff like that. And he was still, I was like, you know, you can put the other ice cubes down, right? Like he got so distracted that he like was still
there's like ice melting everywhere.
Yeah, but no, but the funny story is that when reciprocating, like my partner, I was like, oh, well, you know, like cool your mouth down, like put ice cubes in your mouth and then go down on me. And then he's like, oh, like what if I put like an ice cube like in your vagina? And I was just like, I mean, you can try, like, sure, like I'm sure it'd feel good. But it's like, you know, during sex, and the vagina is already a warm and moist place. Regardless,
waste. Right.
So during sex, it gets even more so. And so, like, literally, like, he put one of the ice cubes in, and it, I swear, it melted in like 5 seconds. And it was hilarious.
Did it feel good though?
Yeah, it felt really cool. Like, it was definitely interesting, but it was like hilarious because I'm like, oh my God, like, there's something melting inside me. Like, you know how, like, when you drink really cold water and you can kind of feel it, like, go down, yes, like, your esophagus? It's like, it felt like that, but like in my vagina. And it was like crazy.
That's good. I love the blowjob. I mean, the ice and the blowjobs too, because I feel like that's a really, like, everyone's got ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
Like, we can all.
But don't perform. like, because sometimes you can keep the ice in your mouth while you're doing it, but like, make sure that it's a smaller piece of ice,
because
it will not melt right away.
Those
you don't
big
wanna,
cubes.
When you don't want it, like, you don't want to choke like that, you know, during that.
You don't want to go that way.
Kind of ruin the moment.
Right. Exactly. That's a good one. Okay. So thank you for that. These are all great tips. Love it. And mm-hmm. I was going to say everyone has ice. I did not have ice in San Francisco.
Oh.
For like 8 years, I lived in a place and the freezer just would not make ice.
Oh, no.
No, I had to like buy ice at the store. But if I ran out of it, like you buy those bags of ice and be like, you don't, you like, because I was always, never really had much in my house anyway in the way of food. I was like champagne and ketchup. Like that was about it in my refrigerator. And then never made ice. So, but now I have ice.
What else do you need?
Yeah, I know.
Truly nothing.
The basics, yeah.
Truly nothing except for sometimes ice.
Except for sometimes ice.
But everybody has ice except for me. So let's talk about some other things we could use. Handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Madison, you lately been experimenting?
Yes. So I'm not like a big like loss of control person. Like it's just not who I am. Yeah, I know. Go figure, right? If you've been listening to the show for years, you would have had no idea that I like to, you know what's going on. But recently I did give in. Emily gifted me with a liberator, and not just any liberator, like the Mac Daddy of liberators. It's like the huge one that's like the size
of
a bed.
People might not know what that is.
Oh, a liberator is it's sex furniture. So it's a sex wedge. It's got like it's like the same thing that you would buy if you had like acid reflux and needed to sleep upright, but like way sexier. And it's like with black velvet and it's got handcuffs attached to it. So my boyfriend and I were planning our like sexy night, which is a weekend night. And he pulled it out and kind of like was like, he was a little bit dominant. He was like, lay down. I'm going to cuff you. And I was like, oh, okay. So he did. And he put me on the ramp and then he proceeded.
It's called the ramp, isn't it?
Yeah,
the liberator ramp, I think.
It's that's the big one. And he put me on the ramp and then he like went down on me and it was really more comfortable for him because it was closer, like it brought me like closer to his face, but I also couldn't move.
That's hot.
Like I couldn't like move my hands and like they're Velcro cuffs. Like I probably could have gotten out of them if I wanted to, but like they're pretty tight still. So it's like I had no movement whatsoever. I just kind of like laid there and like let it happen. We didn't have a safe word or anything. I would have just like kneed him in the face if something went wrong, but sorry.
I'm looking it up right now. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, it was really, really hot. It was like, it was awesome. And granted, like the positions were kind of like, you're kind of compromised if you're like handcuffed on your back, because then you have to like switch around and stuff like that if you wanted to try anything different. But man, it was awesome.
When that's hot, because I'm trying to picture you sitting there. So your pelvis is raised. You've got the handcuffs and you can't move. And it feels like.
Yeah, basically hot. You can't move. So I was like with it where my upper body was elevated. So I was almost like leaning up. And he was like still on his like hands and knees or whatever, but he had better access, because you don't realize that like with a woman being like slightly tilted, one, your G-spot is so much more accessible. When it came time for having sex, it was like an entirely, new penis hootis, because it was like an entirely different angle that
this
it was penetrating
amazing.
Me. Yeah. So that was cool. So
where are you going to hide that one when the parents come? Because it's kind of massive.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about
that. You could throw like a quilt over it.
I have a sheet on it, but like right now, like it has handcuffs on it. Like I'm not gonna pass it as anything.
It's pretty amazing,
else.
But you can also use pillows to get the same elevation thing. But it's. Yeah. I love that you used it.
Yeah, totally. And the cuffs were like a big part of it. And then we also have one of the sport sheets paddles. Like it's not a paddle. It's like a one of their
flogger.
A crop. It's a crop. That's the one. It's like a little bit longer, but it's got like the really like flat, flappy part at the end. It's got two of them. And what that means is that it delivers like a sting. That thing can be intense if you use it the right way. So that's always fun. And sometimes we use it in the living room and leave it out when people come over.
That's fun.
I feel
yeah.
like it looks
party.
More disciplinary oh yeah, you're gonna get spanked kind of vibe than like the paddles do. I don't know why, even though the paddles look more like spanking tools, like the crop is just like
serious business.
Right. Yeah.
And that, yeah, like I said, like that left, you know, we had to do afterward. I explained to him about aftercare and like the importance of like rubbing my butt after he spanked the shit out of
Did
it.
Did he know how to spank you?
Yeah. No, he knew how. And like,
as well as I knew how to spank you?
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Emily and my boyfriend are the only two people who have spanked me before. And also the only two people who have poured candle wax on me. Oh, so that is not special.
This is so sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. So since my biggest experience with Sensation Play.
Is Wes kind of jealous of me a little?
A little bit. Okay. Yeah. I told him, I was like, yeah, I know, like Emily's
done this. He's like, God damn it.
And he was like, wow, really? Like, can I see the footage? I was like,
there is footage. Yeah. So people can check out the Sensation Play video that we did on the website.
Yeah.
Our website,
sportsheets.com/Emily.
I love Sportsheets because, first of all, they send us a lot of cool, amazing stuff. And we've all tried it. We really like, it's so different than anything else. And it's all like, they have all different levels. Like you get a crop, or you get like a more serious crop, or a beautiful crop, like their Midnight Collection. I don't know. It's been fun for us all to play with together.
Yeah, totally.
So, okay. So wait, so paddle spanking, blindfold. Jamie, you've used some blindfolds?
Yeah, I've used blindfolds before, and it's true. It's definitely crazy because you don't, it's like everything is a surprise that's going to happen to you. You don't know like what's going to happen, and you really do. It's crazy how much more you feel things when you can't see. And like, it's just kind of like, especially too, if you stay blindfolded the whole time, it's like literally like, just like an adventure.
Right. It is. You lose control. Kind of like a loss of control, but that's okay. You let that go.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have to have a lot of trust. I feel like you have to, it seems like stupid, like you're blindfolding someone to have a lot of trust with them, but like you should.
Yeah.
Because.
And breathe.
If you don't trust them, like you never know. You could be like, where did you go? And unblindfold yourself 10 minutes later and like all your stuff is stolen.
Right. That's what Madison always used to say. It's like, oh my God, I never want to be tied up. They're going to steal my wallet. I'm like, those are the girls you're dating.
I mean.
That's what I'm saying. Have trust first.
I know. But blindfolds are fun. Paddle spanking, all the Sensation Play stuff is super cool. And check them out.
It's spring. Try something new.
Seriously. People, if you even try that, and this is not that hard. Like you could buy some of the stuff. That'd be great. Sometimes at home, you could use a bandana and cover your eyes. That's cool.
Yeah, totally. I mean. You could use silk ties. Like literally put a Fran t-shirt over your head. Who cares?
Yeah. Okay. If anyone has ever bought the Jeju Mimi. It comes with like, it comes with like this black thing that's just like, it looks like a black soft blindfold. I don't really know what it's for.
It's a blindfold or handcuffs. It's silk. I love the Jeju.
So I'm like, I just thought that's what I use. Still my firstborn. I have it like, I don't know if it's intimidating or not. I just have it hanging on my like, the blindfold thing. Like hanging on my closet.
You could use a nip tie. I did that in college. I remember my first, just remembering this right now, flashback. I remember that it was my boyfriend's 21st birthday and I rented a hotel room on campus, and it was super fancy. No, it was probably like a Motel 6, but it was like cool. And I got him a cake. I was a good girl. I did this, got him a cake, and I put in the thing. I think I like went to Safeway or whatever it was called there, the stores in Michigan. And we're going back to this hotel room and like using his necktie and like blindfolding him with his like, because we were like a formal or something.
I was going to say, why did you have a necktie?
Exactly, because no one did that. But it was like a formal dance, like a fraternity thing. I know. And like, neckties work. I know. Flashback. Okay, so that was fun. So have some Sensation Play when you're out there enjoying spring.
Totes.
Okay. So
maybe one email?
Yeah. Let's go on to some emails. Thank you everybody for emailing me. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Ask Emily tab, fill out the form, hit submit. That's it. There's also the option to call. We'd love to give you a call and get into your stuff so we can help you move you through some issues that you might have been struggling with your entire life. And like in 5 minutes, I can fix that for you. Leave me a voicemail, 818-ASK-SWE1. As always, include where you live, your gender, your age, how you listen to this show. It makes me really happy. Okay. Hi, Emily. I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years and I really have nothing to complain about. Guess what? Okay. We have our issues like every couple, but he's a great guy. Not to mention the sex is great. However, I can't help shaking the feeling of, what if this doesn't work out? And I'm terrified of having wasted my 20s in a long-term relationship just for it possibly to end. I know this sounds super negative to be thinking like this for virtually no reason, but I keep hearing how the 20s is time to be exploring, not being tied down, and I think it's starting to get to me. Should I be crazy and run for no reason, or stay in my happy relationship and risk things not working out down the road? Any advice is greatly appreciated. Taylor, age 21. The age-old question, relationship in your 20s. So I think, like, Taylor, I understand that you're, like, worrying and stressing if it's going to work out. And I don't know where you heard that 20s is time for fun. I know we talk about that a lot on the show. But, you know, you could spend your time worrying. You've got two choices here, basically. You could just, like, worry about it, you know? could you keep doing that? But that's not going to get you anywhere. Or, well, there's actually three choices. You could keep worrying and that's going to get you nowhere. But if you're going to stay in the relationship, here's the deal about the 20s. I don't know what's going to happen, Taylor. You might be this miracle related, not the miracle, but one of the few relationships that say it's, let's be honest, it's not a huge number. Many, yeah. We all know that story of people who are like high school sweethearts and they're really happy together. That could happen. But as long as you're in it, why not try working on these issues that you have? I know you're saying, you know, you ended the email by saying it's a happy relationship. And then above you say you got issues like everyone else. Why not practice and work on those issues that you have right now? Because I'm telling you, every relationship's going to have issues. If you stay with this guy or you move on, there's going to be issues. And guess what? Working on issues in relationships take practice. We are not trained. We're not learned. There's no instruction manual on how to even talk about issues in a relationship. So work on it. Do your best. Enjoy the time together. And don't spend the time doubting it. You know, wonder if it's going to end. You're never going to be happy. Or you can say, you know what? My impulse is here. My urge to, you know, the sense that I should be in another relationship and the urge to kind of move on and experiment what else out there is dominating my thoughts. And I'm just going to do that. So those are kind of your choices. You got to pick a lane.
Mm-hmm. Who's the lane?
Pick a lane.
Oh, I love that.
Either stay in it and be there and work on it. And I'm telling you, it is, you could even think of it as like a practice relationship. Like you're practicing right now. You're going to see how it goes. You love them. But do some work while you're in it.
Absolutely.
Or bail. Yeah. Start dating.
And I feel like when people say that the 20s are a great time to explore and all that, the way that I like to look at that is that if you are single in your 20s, it is the perfect time to be exploring and figuring everything out because you're still kind of young and then you can bring that with you as you age and into your 30s and whatever. However, if you are in a relationship that is good and you're in your 20s, like don't use that as an excuse. Like, oh, they say your 20s is your time to explore. It's like, no, if you are single, then explore. If you're in a good relationship, stick with that. Like work on it. Just because you're in your 20s doesn't mean you have to be single and exploring.
Exactly.
Or explore being in a relationship.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly it.
Because there's plenty of exploration that happens between the ages of 18 to 21 that can happen with a partner. You might actually get your sexual mojo down pat with a partner. And then if it doesn't work out, you already know everything that you like. You already have practice. You know what you want for the next partner. And you can have fun. Being in your 30s and being single is fine too.
Yeah.
It's always fine. You guys, just make sure that you're listening to like what you need and there should be no shoulds. Like, well, I should be in a relationship or I should be single. I'm never saying that here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that like 20s are a great time for exploration, but also like as long as you're in it. And when I say explore, I think people also think that means just running around hooking up and having sex like with someone else every
night.
You
could explore with your partner.
You could do that, but I'm not saying that you should be sleeping around in your 20s necessarily. I'm just saying like, you know, no matter what you're doing, whether you're sleeping around and when you're having sex, try to have good sex with these people. Try to communicate your needs. And same if you're in a relationship, try to make that a healthy relationship and work on whatever issues you're having there. Like just don't waste time in your head stressing and worry because that gets you zero place.
The only time I would say like don't be in this relationship right now is if you feel like it's really holding you back from like growing as a person. If it's like you want to go abroad for a semester and you don't want to because you've got a boyfriend, or you want to try this job somewhere else and you don't want to because you've got a boyfriend, those are the times to question whether now is the best time of your life to be in a relationship or be single. Not because you're worried that 5 years from now you're going to break up and have regrets.
Thank you for just explaining the worry that you should be having.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Because it's kind of like, you should move for a job. If it's your high school, I don't know, like, and they don't want to move with you, like, that's probably okay.
I wish I had broken up with my, 18 to 20 year old drummer boy, or when I was 18 to 20 drummer boyfriend, I wish I'd broken up with him earlier because I probably would have transferred into college earlier. I would have gotten my shit together a lot sooner.
Right.
But then I wouldn't have met my current boyfriend when I transferred in. So it's like everything happens for a reason. Just stop worrying about everything that's going to happen and go with what you feel.
Right. And I'm going to say something that might not be very popular, but I've been hearing this lately. Mm-hmm. If you got into like the college of your dreams and you're like 18, but your high school boyfriend didn't get there, you're afraid to be moving from a different city. Is that what you said you just did?
No, go for it.
But like literally, because I think people are dealing with college acceptance. They're going off to college. Like, don't stay home in your hometown and don't make choices based on your boyfriend from high school. And I would even say your boyfriend from college. This is when you got to live your life and make choices. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. You can travel and meet each other. You can, there's airplanes, right? There's a lot of different modes of transportation, but don't let these relationships hold you back.
And don't choose a college based on where your high school boyfriend is going, because then if you guys break up, you're stuck at a college for him for 4 years and your experience is tainted.
Yes.
What a
good
nightmare.
Good advice here. Okay. I think we're all set. This was a fabulous show with you guys. I love my team.
It's always fun.
Aww, it's always fun. I know. So, you guys, remember spring preening. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you to Jamie and Madison and Michael here doing the sound, and Helena. And to all you amazing listeners, I love you all so much. Thank you for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.